spread the gospel and care about the future of this country in regard to our young people. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if phone book spread around, but where's Brian? Where'd it go? Where'd my... Okay, let's take care of just a few things very quickly. First of all, next Sunday, the first Sunday of August, what we do here, we celebrate the Lord's Table the first Sunday of each month. And then after the service, we have fellowship time, lunch together. So next Sunday will be the celebration of the Lord's Table. And then for our fellowship meal together, the theme is finger food and summer salads. Tuna, this is just posted in the back. Tuna salad sandwich, chicken salad sandwich, turkey sandwich, chicken nuggets, bluebell ice cream, whatever you would like to bring. Maybe have some food left over from Saturday night, bring it. That'll be fine. So next Sunday, Communion Sunday, and the communion meal. Let's talk about prayer. We have visitors. We have been in prayer for months. One of our 14-year-olds, who's now turned 15 just last Wednesday, went down with a rare blood cancer, turned into leukemia. His name is Thomas Hallett, and Thomas has been through an unbelievable battle now for going on 5 months. For a week there, it looked like the Lord may have called him home. But he came through that. He went home about 3 weeks ago for the first time, got to go home. He's home now. Goes to the hospital twice a week. Talked to his mother this morning. His blood platelets, which was, of course, the great issue. He had to have stelsim transplant things and chemo and so many things. His blood platelets are normal, which is just, it's a miracle. To us, it's a miracle. If you'd have seen Thomas at various stages, of his leukemia. It's just a miracle where he is now. In fact, I'm reminded with Ron Stark here, the brother of a very good friend of mine in seminary, Paul Stark. The Lord took him home through leukemia. And I'll never forget when Paul came over from Longview. He had a small Bible church in Longview, came over, and he and I were just up close and tight. And he had lost some weight. And, you know, you say things and you go, but I said, boy, I need to get what you got so I can lose some weight. He goes, yeah, man, I feel good about that area. Well, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And not long after that, went on to be with the Lord. Paul was a great Bible teacher, but boy, he went to Juilliard, he could play the piano, and he never played at the church. I said, boy, if I could play the piano, I'd teach from the piano. And in the middle of a message, I would start playing, and then sing to him, and do this. But he never did that. And he almost died as a little child, and one country doctor said, hey, you're allergic to dairy products. So he got off of that and got healthy and strong. He had a body we used to compare. His body was like a Corvette psh, down the highway. Mine was like a Mack truck go over the mountain and all of that. And they had a sign in seminary and on the bulletin board. And so the kids had put up on the sign, jogging for Jesus, meet and jog with us every evening at 4 o'clock. So I remember one evening Paul and I went over and we put up a sign, lifting for Lucifer. Meet in the weight room at midnight. That didn't stay up there very long. Kids just had no sense of humor. But Ron, just happy to have you. Look forward to talking with you. So be in prayer for Thomas. He had some little minor things going on in his body. Terry was telling me that Friday had a rough Friday. So the blood platelets are good, but they're just battles to be fought. Please be in prayer. Sometimes when these things go on and on and on, everybody gets into prayer and does things the first maybe a few weeks and maybe a month, and then everybody, you've got to get back to your own life and things. Well, please be in prayer for Thomas each day, just for his health, these type of things. I feel inadequate in making the next announcement, but a 13-year-old, I know his mother, up in Iowa. He was in a four-wheeler wreck, brain damage. He's in a hospital. They don't know what's going to happen. I do not know the young man's name. I'm sorry. God knows his name. So please be in prayer for this young man and his parents. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? I've been out of pocket for a week. Any other prayer? Yes. Yes, Johnny. And what's the status now? At home? Good. Now, is he going to have the other hip replaced? Okay. About 3 months. So we need to pray that this one gets well, so we go to the next one. Okay? All right. You get through. That's a prayer. That's prayer. Any other prayer thing? Okay. Next thing we're going to do is family. Now, everyone here is just so many different churches and beliefs, and we all have our own little things. Nothing major worth getting all out of shape, but the offertory is family. See, water baptism, water baptistry should be built out to the public. That's a public thing. The offertory, the large table, those are family issues. So the offertory is worship. It's part of worship. And we like to make it clear that if you've never made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, an offering plate is of no issue for you. It's the offering on the cross. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, the offertory, though, really isn't just for believers either. It's for believers who know how to be filled with the Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if I give everything that I own so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. So how do we do that? Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So giving needs to be in the filling of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit in regard to giving. So this offering is for believers. It's believers who know how to be filled with the Spirit and led of the Spirit in regard to giving. Don't make an issue out of how much you give, how sacrificially you give. God is, some people think, well, if you give God so much, if you give God this, God will bless you. People, God is not a sugar daddy. God is not up there playing this game with you. We give as the Spirit leads, as He prospers. That's how, that's grace. That's what we do in grace. So, with these things in mind, we don't make an issue out of ourselves, we don't make an issue out of the money, make an issue out of Him and the spreading of His gospel. You're seeing a result this morning of some of the offertory that's going on here. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, when we come to this facet of worship, it is our custom to be reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other for this to take place. The political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country. The freedom to do with our lives, our resources, our time, as we see fit. Freedom to do with our lives as we see fit. Multitude of decisions and freedom. Marry whom we wish. Live where we wish. Go to the church of our choice. And Father, we're very thankful for the men and women who have provided us this freedom through this nation's history, right up to this very hour where many are in harm's way. Thankful for the police department, the fire department, who protect this freedom. But Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free, through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. Whom to marry and why, where to go to church and why, where to live and why, what to do with our time and what to do with our money and why. And Father, we're most thankful for the person and work of Christ on the cross and the resurrection. And we pray now, Father, that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are here to learn about what happened at camp. Been dealing with it all year with different events and all this, and the week has taken place. So without further ado, I turn it over to Chris Day, camp director.
Okay, we're going to have a little fun today. I was sitting over here watching Wes play and hold a full-scale conversation with Cameron. I was blown away. One, he's, amazingly talented, but two, I can't walk across the room and chew gum at the same time without falling over. So please forgive me if I miss on a few of these cues. We'll see what we can do about making this as smooth as possible and not killing the flow. So what I'd like to start with this morning is to talk a little bit about camp. I was very humbled and proud to have the opportunity to actually be involved with the camp over the last couple of years. And this year, Lori and I decided, or were asked to run the camp from a director standpoint. And wow, I was just completely blown away with the response that we got from our church, from our church family, from so many people that sent their kids, from so many people that that contributed just in amazing ways. And so I want to start by asking the staff, I'm not going to go out and individually point anybody out, because we all did it for one reason, and that was to bring these kids to a place where they have the opportunity to worship, to learn about God, to open the Bible, and have some fun doing all of those things. And it's all about glorifying our Lord and Savior, and it's all about glorifying our Father. So I would, though, like to have the staff come up stand up for at least a little bit of appreciation, because they spent some hard hours and long nights, and so. There is absolutely no way we could have done it without everybody that was involved. And yeah, there's a tremendous number of people that are not here this morning, and they are absolutely appreciated in all the time that they put in. And I will find an opportunity to thank them individually. So, but without trying to get too emotional, Trey, you understand, man. You understand? We have those moments where we just lose it. What I would like to do is start with a little worship music. So we grabbed some music that we were putting together up, or that we had put together up at camp. We had a fantastic couple of guys that came down from Indiana, and they played the guitar and sang for us and led songs, and just so I'm going to play three songs. But I need some of these guys that are standing out here in these yellow shirts and/or not wanting to know anybody to know they're not in their yellow shirts. I need a few of you to come up here, because I'm going to make everybody stand up and participate so you can get the camp experience right here at Spring Valley Bible Church. All right, so if everybody would, come on, you guys know. Oh, here we go. Yeah, we got some. Just don't knock over my projector, or I'll have to throttle you. All right. Be careful. Get excited, but don't hit the projector. Okay, so we're going to start. We're going to start, guys, with Take It All. You ready? Yeah, you do. You'll recognize in a second. It sounds a little different. This is a participation event. For your name, we'll never be ashamed of you. Well, ho, ho, our praise and all we are today. Take it all. Take it all.
some of you all to tell folks here what you learned at camp, what was your favorite thing at camp. Okay, and you can't all say the blob. But tell them something that you learned up at camp, something you got to do at camp. Tell them something that sounds fun and exciting.
Okay, Hannah, what did you learn at camp?
Awesome stuff.
Like, what kind of awesome stuff? It's very inspiring. Amanda, what did you learn at camp?
Spiritual love. Yeah.
Grayson, what did you learn at camp?
That you should love everybody and anybody that you meet, no matter who they are.
Stepping up, Adam. This is Adam Orr. I just want everybody to look at this guy. He was the most energetic kid we had at camp. Adam, what did you learn at camp, or what was your favorite thing?
I'd have to go with Capture the Flag favorite thing.
All right.
Other than the blob.
Yeah. Good job, bud. Ben. What did you learn at camp, or what was your favorite thing?
The blob.
Would anybody else like to speak? You would? Okay, and what did you learn at camp?
That spiritual love is a spiritual force, and it is sacrificial, and that is observant.
Yeah. How do you follow that up? They really were listening. Hey. yeah, good stuff. Okay, so my age group was the J Crew, and this was Hannah, Amanda, Grayson. Yes, and people that are not here right now. But we had an awesome time. I mean, it was work, yes. We were working our tails off. We were waking up at 5, 6 in the morning every morning. We got no sleep whatsoever, but... We would throw on our glasses during Bible class and kind of nod off a little bit.
Buck said it was okay.
Yeah, Buck said it was fine. Buck said it was fine. But Grady, he was the J. Crew guys kind of leader person. He was just absolutely awesome. So can I give a round of applause for Grady? But just being with these kids, it's absolutely God-made, if that makes sense at all. But, I mean, you can't have another experience like this. You go to camp, and yes, we were campers the last however many years it was, but now you get to see the flip side of that. Now we're in training to be the counselors, and how much work has to actually go in to doing a camp. You can't just show up the week of camp and kind of throw it all together. It's a whole year type of thing just for 1 week. And so just seeing that was life-changing. And being with the kids was probably the best part of camp, so that was awesome.
All right, so now if you guys would kind of meander back that way just a little bit, because we're going to show a little bit of a slideshow here. I'll have to figure out some way. If you can find a seat or you can grab a seat on the floor, I want to show a little bit of a slideshow, and... After that, we'll have a little message here, but let's see here. Let me see if I can get this thing going. So I laugh because I have to look up here because I broke my computer screen, and so we're working off of limited technology capabilities here. Let's see if this will work. I'm working on it now. Give me a second.
sec here. Shana from up in Oklahoma, sophomore Bible Church. Jason and Julie. Everybody knows Jason. This was mealtime. Thank you. ping pong was a great alternative to running around in the sun. Sisters. This morning, he has going to a little camp. I'm starving for it. There's a ball summer long. It's starving! Oh, here he goes. Come on, Grady. Whoa! Oh, that's all I got. All right, lots of worship music. Thank you.
Grady trying to keep up with Larry. Larry was everywhere. It was amazing. Lots of worship, lots of Bible study. I mean, that's what the point was. Lots of fun. Supersize awesome. All right. I was going to show the joke.
Wild versus Wild video, but I figured half the people would get up and leave if I did, so. No, I don't actually have it. Pastor Buck. We know some of these kiddos. You know, in God's eyes, we're all winners. This is the slip and slide. We couldn't get it to slip quite enough, so Jennifer went and got the dishwashing soap. They were sliding all over the place then. Pretty funny. All right, a couple more minutes of slides here, and then Kelly taking pictures. Somebody taking pictures. All right. Okay. So that was a little bit about camp. Over the last 4 years, we've covered a variety of things that have been fantastic from a teaching perspective. And so, if you don't have your Bible, I want to take down a... If you don't have your Bible, I've got to put some, set some through the middle there. If you need one, here's a couple more. Because we're going to take... Sit back. Sit right back. Tail of a faithful trip. We're going to take a little trip through the Bible real quick, if you'll bear with me. So, the Apostle Paul wrote to lots of different people. Wrote to lots of different people in his mission work as he traveled the world and tried to keep everybody on track. And one of the things that he talked about was he was fearful. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't afraid of talking. I mean, he was very well educated. He was a very smart man. He was, you know, Pharisee and all of that. So he was well educated. So what would the man be fearful of? The man was fearful. The Apostle Paul was fearful of adding anything to the gospel. So he was extremely concerned about ever taking anything from the gospel and adding to it. So he prayed, and he would send his letters of how fearful he was that he would twist just a little bit, just tweak. You know, add a little bit to the gospel. Just a, you know what? This would sound, God, this would have, you know, let me create a little flow here. I'm going to add a couple of words to the gospel here because it flows better. It makes a better presentation. So he prayed often about not adding anything to the gospel, and he was, it troubled him to make sure that he didn't do that. So I would like to take 1 minute or just a couple of seconds here and pray with you all that the words that I'm about to say will be the words of the Holy Spirit, and that you'll understand what we're going to talk about. So if you bow your heads, please. Father, thank you for a fantastic opportunity to be here and just enjoy and looking back at some of the fun things we got to do. Thank you for a wonderful camp. And Father, I ask that as we take a quick trip through the Bible, that that the words that come out of my mouth are the ones that you want everyone to hear, and that even if I say the wrong things, Father, that I ask that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher in each and every person's heart and in their soul so that they will understand the truth of what I'm about to teach. Thank you, Father, for being such an amazing God. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so we're going to do this very fast because everybody's on a time limit, right? So at camp, we had time limits all over the place. We broke all of them. So we had a schedule. It was like, what time were we supposed to be there? Oh, 45 minutes ago. Cool. Oh, let's go there now. So quickly, we're going to turn to, and you can turn with me as fast as you want to, or as slow as you want to. If you don't know where some of these things are, by all means, feel free to open up the front of your Bible. You have a table of contents. But I'll make it easy on the first one, Genesis 1:1. Does anybody not know where Genesis 1:1 is? Okay. If you don't, please just reach over to the person next to you and show them. It's the first thing, right? Right after the copyrights, which kind of makes me laugh. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the book of Genesis, at the first thing that said, in the beginning, before anything else, God. You can stop right there. Psh, you're there. God. He is. If you haven't had the opportunity to think about that, you haven't had the opportunity to walk out into the on the lake or out and away from the city and get away from all the things that man has built, look up at the heavens and see God. He created the heavens and the earth. That's the first stop in our journey. There is a God. He declares it, and there's no question in our mind. He put it in each and every one of us to remember that, to know that. Genesis 3:19, if you would. I'm going to do this quick. So, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. So he's talking about Adam and Eve. He created Adam and Eve, and what did Adam and Eve do? That's what we all do. So we all look back and we go, oh, Adam and Eve. Those guys really messed up. Herman even said it this morning. If I was Adam and somebody else was Eve, guess what? We'd have messed up too, because it's who we are, right? Adam and Eve. He failed, and it was absolutely in God's plan. He knew what was going to happen. And he said, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust. We are nothing. We are worthless before God. Did you need me or somebody else? Oh, okay, I saw this. I'm like, I'm coming. Hold on for a second. Can you wait till the end of Bible class, please? I can't leave the podium. We are nothing, and we would, without God intervening, we absolutely can do nothing, and we would return to the dust. We would be nothing. We are worthless before God. We are dust. How awesome is that to know? You know, you go to a church and they go, oh, you're great, and if you think you're great enough and you want to be great enough, you can be great enough, and God will bless you because you're great enough. God says right here, we're nothing. We're dust. We will return to it. Ooh, that's a message of hope, isn't it? All right, so we'll continue before we leave this message of doom and gloom. And so we'll flip over to Job 9:2, if you would. So now we've said there is a God. God created man. Man messes everything up, which man always does. And then God said, you are nothing before me. Don't check out there, because that would be a really bad place to leave. All right? So Job 9:2. What does Job 9:2 say? Let me find it here real quick. Job 9:2. It says, in truth I know that this is so, but how can a man be in the right before God? So there's the question. That's the question we all ask. If we believe there's a God, and we believe that Adam messed up, and we believe that we are nothing before that God, then the question is right here, the first book of the Bible that was written. That always messed me up at first when Pastor Maddox said that. It's the first book of the Bible. No, it's not Genesis. It's the first one that was written. All right? Put onto scrolls or camelbacks or whatever they wrote it on. Okay? It says right here, then, that's the question of all time. Then how can we be righteous before God? Because I don't want to be dust. I don't want to go to Nowheresville. You know, at the end, it's, all right, back to dust. Well, it was fun living, but nothing after that. So the question is, how are we righteous before God? Because this God of ours is amazing. We can't comprehend who this God of ours is, but he is perfect, and he is righteous, and he is holy. And guess what? As dust, as nothing, as just the lowest of the low, we cannot be right before him on our own. We can't do it. So let's jump. Before anybody jumps off the cliff here, let's go ahead and flip over to John 3:16. Some of you might know this one. It's pretty popular. You see it at the baseball game all the time, right? John 3:16. Who knows what John 3:16 says? What's John 3:16 say? You are awesome. Very good. So now we are useless before God, but God says, boom! Hey, watch this. Satan, you think you've got me in a bind because now I can't love. I love these people, but I can't bring them to me. But guess what? You lose anyway because I'm God and I'm better than you. So he sent his son to die on the cross for each and every sin that was ever committed. It doesn't matter whether you believe in him or not. It doesn't matter whether you believe and you become a good person, or you believe and you continue down the path of self-destruction that we all at some point in time in our life go down. It doesn't matter. He sent his son to die on the cross for every single one of us. Everyone. Every sin. Sin is not an issue before God. We are not right before God because we stop sinning. Because, folks, we can't stop sinning. It's impossible. We are righteous before God because he sent his son who died on the cross for each and every single one of us. And all we have to do is believe. It is a gift. Okay, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. This is a quick trip, so we're moving through it here. Who remembers Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? Anybody? It is for grace that you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is a gift from God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, it is grace. Grace is a gift. There's a big difference between a reward and a gift. A reward from God is something that we earn. I'm good enough. I've changed my ways. I've invited Him in to be with me. It's not a reward. It is a gift. It's grace. It's all His. We are not worthy to do anything before Him except say, I accept what you've given me. How awesome is that? We are so low. If we had any capability of being righteous before God, folks, that's what we would spend our entire life doing, is trying to figure out how to do it. What's the right solution? The wonderful part about being nothing before God, about being dust, about that's where we're going, is we can't do it. So guess what? We get to take a step back and say, God, thank you very much. You did it all. I accept your gift. It's not a reward. It's a gift. All right? John 13:34. This is where I wanted to get. All right? This was our passage over the week. So now, this God of ours who loves us so much that He was willing to send His Son, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Sorry, I had to go through that. Loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son to die on the cross. He says in our new passage, He's getting ready to die. And we have for years and years, folks, we talk about all the time, the Ten Commandments and the law of Israel. That's awesome. That was Israel. That was their law. That's what they used to maintain civil society. And it was God's law. And God sent it to them so that He could show them who He was. Pastor Maddox was talking about it the other day. How just shocked. Okay, God's not shocked. But think about that for a second. He says, here's the law. Here's who I am. Here's everything that I've stand for. Here's what you have to do. Or you have to just accept who I am and believe in me. Here's everything. Go do it. And they said, oh, we can do that. Are you serious? Come on. Has anybody read Deuteronomy? You got to be kidding me, right? There's 15,000 different laws that we're supposed to follow. And if you think about it, if you think about breaking the rules, you sin. If you think about somebody in a bikini, guys, walking down the beach, and you go, whoa, you've sinned, all right? Sorry, just saying. All right, but what He says right before He goes on the cross to die for each and every single one of us, He says this, John 13:34. A new commandment, not the old stuff, a new one that I give to you. What's it say? Love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then it goes on. By this, all men will know that you are mine. Spiritual love is the theme for the entire week. Christ gave us a commandment to love one another. All right? Now, that would be awesome if I could do that. But I can't do that. But you know what? He comes back again. Stay with me. This is fun stuff, all right? How do you love? 1 John 3:16. Try that one for a second. We've heard John 3:16. Try 1 John. Towards the back, 1 John 3:16. If you can't get there, because I don't want to keep anybody too terribly long. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That's 1 John 4:16. Now, if you'd like to look at 1 John 3:16 with me, that was a good one, though. I like it. Let me make a note of that. I'll use that next time. All right. All right. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's pretty rich, right there. He laid down His life for us. That's how we will know love. We only got one life, so
I was cracking up. Herman was talking about this the other day. He said, so I'm going to wait till I'm 99 and a half. I'm going to find some sucker that needs love, and then I'm going to jump in front of the car. Boom, I laid it down. I've done it. Sweetness. It's all good, right? Laying down our lives for one another is setting our lives aside for somebody else. That's how you love like Christ loved. We set aside, maybe it's our money, maybe it's our time. Maybe we're driving down the street and somebody's car breaks down and we go, you know what, I need to be at the office by, but I'm going to take care of this person because that's how Christ loved. All right, for, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. How do we get this love? Because, folks, we can't do it on our own. It's absolutely impossible. We can't love one another. God says, love one another, and then he says, and then we all look at each other and go, ah, we can't do this. So God says, all right, fine. You can't do it? I knew you couldn't do it because I know all. I'm going to tell you how you can do it. So if you would flip to Galatians 5. Who's got Galatians 5? Because I'm flipping past. Let me read Galatians 5, 22 and 23 for me, please. No, that's good. That's fine. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Sweet. Now we got it figured out. He gave everything. We were nothing. He created everything. He created us. We were nothing. We were trying to figure out how to be righteous before God. He sent His Son because He loved us to die on the cross for all of our sins. He gives us a gift and says, boom, all you got to do is believe. And then He says, you know what? All that other stuff that we used to talk about that everybody tried to do, forget about that. Here's what I need you to do. The new commandment is love one another. Oh, you can't love one another? Okay, fine. I knew you couldn't. Boom! Here. Let me send the Holy Spirit. He is love. God is love. That's where the power comes from. The power of love, to be able to love one another, is to be in the Holy Spirit. And how are you in the Holy Spirit? The same way that you were saved is the same way that you walk, by faith. Period. All you got is trust Him. All you got to do is believe Him. All you got to do is listen to Him, because He'll tell you. When you're walking, driving down the street, and you're woo, and you go blowing past that little old lady who's standing there trying to change your tire, and you go, oh, that gut-wrenching feeling like, I need to go back, but I'm going to be late for my coffee. I got to get to Starbucks and get my latte before I get to the office, and then I talk, you know, silly stuff for 3 hours because it's all corporate talk, and the poor lady standing over here, that gut-wrenching feeling, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, go back. Stop what you're doing. Go back. That's love. We talk about faith being dead. We talk about faith without works is dead. Guess what? When we have faith in the Holy Spirit, we can't be dead. It's not going. Our faith will take us right back there and help that person out. When we love one another, we will not lie. We will not cheat. We will not steal. We will not do all those things the Ten Commandments says. It's real simple. He said, this is so confusing, nobody can do it. Let me tell you how you do it. Here's how you do it. I'll give you the power to do it. And by the way, all you got to do is love. And if you stop and think, if you describe love, there is absolutely zero way you can break any of those other things that they talked about back in the Old Testament, which I'm not dismissing the Old Testament. Got to know your history, right? But as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ left the earth and sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of each and every one of us who accepts His gift, we have the ability to love. And that love comes from Him. And just so if you're wondering, okay, well, all right, I love, and you really shouldn't think this way, but what's in it for me? If you're trusting the Holy Spirit, you have the power to love. If you're trusting the Holy Spirit, you also, read the rest of it, fruit of the Spirit is love. You have the ability to love. It also comes with joy. It comes with peace. It comes with patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against all things, there is no law. It's not about the law. It's not about being good. It's about love. Love one another as Christ loved us. And by that, all men will know you are mine. We had an awesome week at camp, and each and every one of these staff that were up there, love your kids. And love the kids that were with us. And I am so proud to say that I was part of this camp. And I hope that folks, I hope you guys had an awesome time. You didn't get to go. Next year, I hope you have an awesome time. All right? But I hope you guys had an awesome time. I hope the kids had an awesome time. I know every time I'd have one go to a camp, I take more away from it than the kids do. So on that note, what I'd like to do is finish with our last worship song. So if you guys can stand up with me, we'll see if I can do this without wrecking the place.
And conquered the grave.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris and Lori. You know, a weekend, week like this at camp, it's great, energizes, solidifies, encourages, but it's just a few days. Christian life is every day, every day. We thought about spiritual love, loving as Christ loved, got some ideas of what that means, sacrificial, observant, how love has to observe. God observed our condition. Got to observe your brother, your sister, your parents, friends in school, and then love does what it can to meet the need. But it's going to be the whole year. So I just want to encourage you parents, church, just somewhere where weekly they're in the Word. As far as here is concerned, we're going to start up our fall youth thing in the fall, September. All right. Okay. And then got some rooms down here. Going to do some things in that regard. But just a great week. We're in economic depression time. People care about their money. Do I put money in gold? Do I put money in the stock? Do I put money? I want to tell you people something. You won't have better return than you got this last week. Some camps, I know there's one camp in our sort of Christian movement, $450 a kid. Another one's $375. Another one's $3. And we're going to do our best to keep it $50. I just love that. Nobody's hard-pressed $50. We're not going to take an offering. Do not think that. I'm just talking with you. So through the year, going to be doing things to continue to raise the money so we can do this next year. And if you want to be involved, more parents, please let us know. We'll get together, think about what we're going to be doing next year on it. People, it just takes a lot. Now, I don't want to distract that it's about the kids. But I just want to talk about Jerry and Leslie, Jim and Annelle. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. Feeding, going from feeding one or two, Leslie has Jerry, Jerry has Leslie, and that's it, to feeding over 110 people, three squares a day. How do you do that? I mean, I would have called pizza three times a day. And I think some of the kids would have loved that. But we ate better than we eat at home. Three squares at this camp. In fact, Friday morning I got up, said to my wife, well, what are we going to have? Some bacon and eggs and some French toast? Nothing. So I called Leslie. I said, what are y'all having over there? Nothing. Oh, boy, what a bummer. So, but I just want to thank y'all. Jerry had to learn. Jerry and Leslie had to learn. How do you do this? How do you feed 110 plus people, three squares a day, plus snacks? And it was just great food. It was just really great, great food. And I just want to thank Jerry and Leslie and Jim and Annelle and Jeff came down one day and others helped. Trey and Christy. Brian and Jennifer, these people gave up a week of vacation, a week of their time. They gave up a week of their time to be down there with these kids. Have fun. But I don't know how much fun Jerry and Leslie, Jim, and now they were up 5. Usually got up around closer to 6. One morning I saw him get up. Somebody said, it's not 6, it's 5. Oh, I got up. But, and then just gave their time. And I'm just so appreciative. I wish you guys could have seen Trey the other morning. He gave out fun awards and things. The way he had connected with his little kid. I mean, he just, boy, weights and big guy and all. But, man, he got choked. I was so impressed with that. So impressed with that. And then Brian and Larry Wise, Chris told me, Could not have done it without Larry. She crosses a lot of people. Hey, if you're going to do something and get something done, you're going to cross people. That's all there is to it. You're going to cross people. So I'm just thankful. Brian Cooper drove Joe and Buck and Steve loaded and unloaded and the people that were here Thursday to have refreshments. Just I could go on and on and on, and I would miss some. But just to kind of let you know about Chris and Laura Day, they are both graduates of the Naval Academy. Y'all met there, right? They met at the Naval Academy. They used that experience, plus the filling of the Spirit, to organize a great camp. And we just thank you so much for letting your young people come with us, and just pray that through the year they continue to grow and in the Word, in the Lord. There's so many little things that this denomination, we studied in our 9:15 study this morning. We have so many things given to us. Just for an example, the giving of the ritual of water baptism. Just an encouragement. And what have we done with it? We divided. Do you dunk? Do you sprinkle? Do you do infant? Do you do this? Do you do that? Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize very many. And then we have things like the Lord's Supper, the communion. It's communion. Communion with one another. What have we done with it? We've divided. Do you believe it's this? Does it become the blood? Does it become the bread? Who can take it? When do you do it? How often do you do it? Things given to us for our enjoyment, comfort, encouragement, teaching, we used to divide. The rapture. Paul says in Thessalonians, comfort one another with these words. You know what we've done? Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib. And it was given to comfort. It was given to we comfort one another. And I'm just so sorry that we've had to have denominations and all. I'm Baptist. Well, I've got to tell you, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm a believer in Christ. Hey, so am I. Let's sit down and have a coke. Let's just sit down and talk about it. But we've got all these things, and I just hope that at these camps that we pick the big things, not major in the minors, emphasize the minors, just. Get them to know the new commandment, love is Christ. First of all, the gospel. We made sure the gospel was clearly given. Little children, all the way up. Love is Christ love. How do that in the Spirit? Now, go and do it. It's sacrificial. It's observant. It's a force. Love is a force. People kill, murder out of love. People make bad decisions out of love. Spiritual love is a spiritual force. It's sacrificial. We know love by this, he laid down his life. Bible doesn't define love, it describes love. You can't define it, it's described. Lay down his life, we ought to lay down our life. It's observant. Love observes. If you're totally occupied with yourself, you'll never make it. Husband's got to observe the wife. Wife the husband. What's wrong? Nothing. Uh-oh, something's really wrong. Something's really wrong. See, I've learned that. I didn't know that. Those of you who don't know, I waited 67 years to get married. I've learned a lot in just 2 years. Thing. But it just is absurd. Yeah. It's absurd. Love observes. Love observes. Something's wrong. And we talked about seeing a kid in school over there. We're across the room. You notice something. You go over and say, what's going on? Can we talk? And then finally they'll start saying, why did you come to me? Why do you even care? Well, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. You don't have to go on these big crusades. They will know you if you love as Christ loved. That's how we'll know. Not by your legalism. Not by your morality. Not by what you do and don't do. By this, they will know that you're mine if you love as I have loved you. Carry your Bible. Go to church. Legalistic, moral, only. No. Loving as Christ loved. Love observes. You're kind of heavy about something. Can we talk? I'm talking about for the kids. I told them, you've got something to give. You've got something. Psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, they don't have it. You got it. You've got Christ. Crucified, resurrected. eternal life, life now. Why would you not want to share that? That's what love does. It observes, and then it meets that need. So, thank you very much, parents, and family members, and friends. And we'll start now getting ready, take a couple of weeks to rest, and then start getting ready for next year. But remember, it's only just a few days of the year. It's what they do through this whole year now. The church that you go to, studying the Word, getting in the Word, talking about loving as Christ loved. Don't talk about theological issues that divide. Talk about things that make dynamic. And being a witness of Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. First of all, any parents have anything you want to ask or comment or anything? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you for coming. Heavenly Father, we're seeing the future of America. We're seeing the future of the body of Christ. These are the future. This is the future. These young people. So adults will be gone. They'll be taking our place. It's our responsibility, our challenge, our opportunity to teach them about Christ. To pass on that banner. Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ glorified. Father, we take this challenge seriously. We pray, Father, you'll take the things that happened this week. Don't let them die on the vine. Let them live in their soul. Let them come alive with some of these things. Let it strike them in school when they don't even expect it. On the playground, things that they do, let them recall things. Let your Spirit cause them to recall. Wait a minute, this is what I need to be doing. So, Father, we just thank you for this wonderful week. Pray now that you will enrich it, that it will grow in these young people's souls, be a witness for Christ. And Father, we thank you for these parents, friends, relatives who've come here. We just praise you, Father, for your benevolence, your love, your grace. We thank you, Father, in the name of your Son. And we pray these things for his glory, his benefit. Amen.